Chapter 23, Pertussis, 1942. Whooping cough, or pertussis, was a dangerous infection, particularly for infants. The bacteria produce a toxin in the lungs which causes an aggressive buildup of fluid. This causes breathing difficulty, and for babies without the abdominal and diaphragm muscles required for vigorous coughing, they can have trouble expelling the mucus. For adults, or even young children, the infection is not considered life-threatening. For babies, it can be terrifying, and as a result, substantial efforts had been directed towards developing protection. The Bordetella pertussis bacteria that creates the troublesome toxin of whooping cough proved much more difficult to work with than the diphtheria or tetanus microbes. As a result, there were many false starts during its development. One of the most difficult things about the pertussis shot was they had no reliable way of testing whether it had worked or not, short of purposefully infecting someone with the bacteria, a practice that did not sit well with parents. Another danger in working with the pertussis bacteria was the way in which it interferes with a crucial component that protects the brain, the blood-brain barrier. The blood-brain barrier is not a balloon-like membrane, but actually a special coating of endothelial cells that surround certain blood vessels within the brain. This extra layer of protection prevents harmful toxins from escaping the blood vessels and reaching the most important component of the nervous system. Pertussis bacteria have a unique ability to compromise the blood-brain barrier. It appears toxins from the microbe can destroy the endothelial cells which constitute the barrier, providing a portal through which they, and possibly other, microbes or toxins can pass. In fact, this special feature of the pertussis toxin has been proposed as a novel method to deliver drugs directly into the brain, the administration of which has always been hampered by the brain's stalwart defenses. While this feature might one day provide the ability to more freely administer neurological pharmaceuticals, it presented a real danger with injecting a modified version of the bacteria's toxin directly into the body. Whooping cough is a respiratory infection, and as such, the mucosal lining of the lungs and airway can often prevent its spread from reaching much further. Through bypassing this layer of protection, pertussis shots create an unnatural route of infection, one that runs the risk of inadvertently breaching the blood-brain barrier. Although they didn't understand exactly what was happening, the danger of neurological problems with pertussis injections was recognized early on. As long as the bacteria was properly inactivated, it should not have been a problem, but occasionally, manufacturing problems did happen. Previous attempts at creating a stable working pertussis shot had proven to be too dangerous to gain widespread public acceptance, but in 1942, a new injection was finally ready for use in the pediatric population. Parents were still unhappy with subjecting their children to multiple injections, so with the promise of fewer needles, manufacturers began to combine diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis shots into one, hopeful their interactions with each other would not interfere with the delicate immunological processes required for success. Inserts packaged within the three-way shot attempted to convince any uneasy doctors that combining multiple vaccines at once was worth the risk. Dear doctor, pincushion is the word for many a patient. Some get 7, 8, or 9 injections to immunize them against diphtheria, tetanus, and pertussis. See for yourself that 3 immunizations can be made without resorting to the pincushion technique. Manufacturers were doing all they could to limit the number of pediatric injections to 3, a number which appeared to be the psychological limit for parents. By combining them, children could now gain protection from 3 different infections without increasing the number of shots. It seemed to be an easy decision, save for one thing. Manufacturers weren't doing anything to limit the amount of aluminum contained within the shot. Like diphtheria and tetanus, the pertussis vaccine simply would not work without adding aluminum. But this time, there would be no special announcement or fanfare in papers to herald its stunning power. A new pertussis vaccine had arrived, an achievement for which everyone was thrilled, but the inclusion of a 3rd dose of aluminum within the same shot would not merit a single word of concern.